At this point, I think it would be very interesting for everybody to think about what you've been thinking about during this conversation. By thinking about what you've been thinking about during this conversation will tell you a lot about yourself. What people have you thought about during this conversation? What inspirations have come out of this conversation so far? How do you look at the people that you've drawn up in your mind as being challenges, and why did you choose the people that you've thought of in the first place? Because these are immediately the people who more than likely have the greatest programming effect on you. So you better be sure that their intentions are in the best place and not just assume. Now, I want you to keep in mind something very important. We're dealing with very, very integrated, deep, deep mechanisms. It is not right for everybody to take the extreme level of saying, I'm going to remove everything and have absolute selfishness in order to achieve my higher consciousness. It's just not feasible. You'd only end up harming or destroying yourself, and in the end, destroying your true objective to find your higher self. What we're doing today is we're discussing the most intimate levels of inner manipulations, inner control, thought control. The idea is that you learn to integrate it slowly into your life so that it becomes a positive aspect. You still always should reflect on the other trainings that you've received. You still must use your meditations in a daily process so that you can better design yourself to approach this higher level of understanding when it is time for you to do so. It does not mean that you have to separate from somebody in your life, but what it is important to do is to realize that you have to take control of what actions they may have on you, because it is your own fault for allowing it to affect you, not their fault, not for you to point a finger and say, you've manipulated me, or you've done this, or I've lost this out of my life because of you, or whatever. You have the power to control your own destination, and how you choose to give that power and to what level you choose to give that power on your life is your choice and yours alone. Mindful is to be conscious of what thoughts are going on. What are your inner motives and where do they come from? What are your motivations of manipulating someone else? What are your motivations to get what you want from someone else? If you're going to be concerned about how you're being affected, what about the effect that you have on other people? How much control are you trying to control over other people? What is your goal and what is your agenda, and how truthful is that? Now, if we wanted to get into selflessness, I think that is a larger category to look at. It's not so much about you being aware of how you're being affected by thought, but how much are you affecting someone else by your choices and your whims and your desires, whether they be monetarily or physically in a sexual context or any other way. And to be aware of that is to say something in itself. To be aware of that is to have self-awareness, self-consciousness. That will stem from a higher level of purity. If you can be more conscious of what your intentions are and keep them in check and keep them in a level that's unselfish or at least diplomatic, because you have to remember, I think that there's a necessity to be selfish in the context of what you want in this particular world. You may have to drive to work and be at work, and someone could be going to the store because they have more time. Is it selfish to say that you are trying to get them to go to the store, or is it that you're trying to manipulate them to go to the store? Do you understand that there's a difference? Purity within yourself starts from understanding your own level of manipulation to how you're trying to control someone else. If you're finding that you need to control someone else to get what you want, they're probably not the person you should have in your life. Because the person you should have in your life, you shouldn't need to feel that you need to manipulate the situation to the direction you want it. They should actually be like your yin and yang and work with you. And that's the best situation. When you find that one person's trying to manipulate you, it's a very, very dangerous thing. When you find that you have to manipulate back, it's twice as dangerous. Because now you are caught in a mechanism, again, where you can only see the wheel, you can only see the horizon, and you never realize that the lower horizon is simply keeping you in the same spiral. You just think you're progressing, but you're not at all. Once you get into that, it's a doomsday scenario. So you have to really be able to recognize this and to react on it. And sometimes by reacting on it is to separate yourself from it, and that could be a very painful process depending on how rooted they are psychologically within your mechanism and how you are to them. So again, it all gets back to thought. Thought is the inner matrix. The inner matrix gets down to individual relationships with other people. It gets into relationships with people in your life, whether they be sexual relationships, physical relationships, mental relationships, spiritual relationships, even your relationship with me. All of these have their gearing. All of these are controlling of one another and your destination or direction as to how you will unfold. And the more that you can recognize it, the more liberated you will become. It's not the fact that it's not there or that it's happening. The fact is, can you see it happening? And that's understanding thought and how thought works and how thought is a living thing and how thought will affect you. Again, we have larger energies that control you through thought, which is like going into a town having a certain vibration, a house having a certain vibration. These are all forms of thought control. And then we have individual beings who have their desires and their wants that work on a micro level constantly with you. Now, there are other forms of thought manipulation that we're going to get into. Much of micro control can also be done through emotional broadcasting. Emotional broadcasting means that you could want for somebody to want you so badly that you keep emanating that energy at them. They may not recognize that it's specifically from you, but for some reason they feel this drain. They feel this heavy weight somehow upon them, that they feel a depression or they feel an anxiety. Usually a person who wants another person will go through a heavy depression of desire of wanting that person. In a sense, in my opinion, it's a robbery of the person. And to me, it could almost be another form of attack, even though it's not done with the intention of attack. They're just depressed. They're in love. But what are they doing? They're invoking all of their spirit upon you. They're evoking all of their energy upon you to be with them, to be drawn to them, for you to be attracted to them, for you to desire them, for you to be obsessed with them. It's a sense for them to create a security. How do you look at that? If it was a person trying to control you, would they not use similar methods? Well, what if it's an act of love? Is it not in the same similar methods? So again, someone's psyche as to how they approach you, you could say is a good thing. Well, they're just wanting to love me. Or you could say in another way that if it's a bad person or somebody that you don't want to love, well, what if it's a guy who feels the same way about you as the girl does? You may not be attracted to the girl, but you feel more comfortable with the girl wanting you that way because it's a girl. Psychologically, you have this program in your head to accept it that way. If the guy does it, you see it as being a horrid, nasty, terrible thing. Well, the point is we need to reanalyze how we are processing the acceptance of this, because I don't see either one should be acceptable, because in the end, it's no longer your free will. What happens if their energy was enough to dominate you? What if it was done to a person who does not have the knowledge of this conversation or the teachings of what I offer to defend oneself? What if, what if, what if? What if then they're like, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm just really depressed. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm being pulled on and I don't know how to deal with it. Well, this person may just be so in love, they just want you to want them. But in the same token, they're almost robbing or programming you with a program that you don't really want in you. What do they want? They're programming you to want them. So now you have a program being forced on you, you know, not really that you willfully want. It's against your will. And they're being merciless about this because somewhere in the psychology of their own mind, 24/7, every waking minute, they're obsessed with this. So this is another form of programming. And whether you realize it or not, you're going to be affected by it. How you think and how you feel will be an effect of that byproduct of their will on you. And this happens every day. You could go to a party and someone could just be attracted to you and this will is on you and you don't even know who this person is. You have no idea who it is. You also probably do this to other people, whether you realize it or not. To what extent is a whole nother matter. But the fact is people do this all day long. Now, what is this? This is an inner binding of the matrix. It's a design that keeps it stable in its functioning. It's a necessity in itself. It's control and be controlled process that's constantly going on 24/7 in the consciousness of the grid, in the consciousness of the planet. It is a mechanism that keeps the fiber working with interrelated relationships, pods, electrical beings, human beings. Consciousness is moving about. Their interrelationships of sharing data, manipulation and direction. If one's moving too high up, let's find something in there that keeps them, brings them back down again. So these are all complex systems of thought control, thought consciousness. The matrix is self-sustaining by these properties. And as long as we are biochemical in regards to how we process thought and how we react, forever we will be subjugated to the effects of it. So the most that you can do is try to limit it by acknowledging it and seeing its processes, and in itself begins to separate you, which becomes part of self-liberation. But it's no easy task to do. And if anybody here is thinking, I'm going to go out and do it tomorrow, well, you're setting yourself up for a very difficult process of which you're going to most likely meet failure. It's better to gradually work with something than it is to try to do it instantaneously. Understanding thought is a critical thing. Understanding your own thought and thinking about it is called what? It's called self-observation, which is something you're told to do often. Through self-observation, you will find liberation. When we think about why we're doing something or why we're saying something, it's self-observation. In that self-observation, we say to ourselves, gee, now that I've done it, I guess I am being kind of manipulative for this goal or that goal. What's really my motive behind this? Is it for the greater good of this person, or is it for my own inner gratification? Do you find that you habitually are following a program of manipulating a certain way or a certain person, or controlling a certain person as one individual and excusing yourself for doing it because just one person is okay? It's true to say that there's nothing wrong with wanting someone to want you. There's nothing wrong with wanting somebody to love you. There's nothing wrong with trying to get to know someone or whatever. It's all in the process of how cleanly you want to go about the business of doing that. Truth is a perspective of how we want to see it. Through self-observation, you will find inner truth and inner awakening. So it's not so much for me to tell you what truth should be or shouldn't be. It's to say it's you have to discover your own inner truth by listening to that inner knowing. That inner knowing knows when you shouldn't be doing something and you should be doing something and to what extent that is. There are certain motivations that you should utilize for yourself that somehow will get you to a better place. And then there's just some things that just aren't, and you already know what they are. You have to have the greater will inside of yourself to release those from you. And that's what surrendering the ego is. It's a different kind of empowerment. There's empowering yourself spiritually, which I think is perfectly okay. Because the end result of that is you finding the truth in your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you want to use ego to build yourself spiritually, by all means, please do. I encourage it. Use your ego all you want, because it's only one result. The end result is a blossoming of your inner spirit, your inner heart, and ego is vanquished. So you can use ego to fuel you there if you think that's what it's going to take to get you there. But to use ego for self-control of others, in a sense that is self-empowerment for the ego, is a whole other trip, and you need to know the difference. And that comes from self-observation. We were talking earlier about how other people who may be in love with you, but you're not in love, can affect you spiritually. And that it can be a big problem because you can feel depressed and not know why you're depressed, or feel drained and you do not know why you're drained, or keep getting images of someone in your mind, maybe that person who's madly in love with you, and then all of a sudden, even though you're not in love with them, you feel this person in your mind is being depressed, and that somehow you could be more supportive of them and you should feel guilt because you're not. Now, ask yourself the question, is that an evil thing or a negative thing or a bad thing or a positive thing? Someone's in love with you. All of their being is being pressed upon you. Because it's being pressed upon you, they're in your mind. You're constantly now thinking about them. Do you say to yourself, no, I refuse to bother myself with them because I just don't want to be bothered by them? Or do you say, gee, that person's really depressed and I could make them happier by giving them some of my time because I feel guilty because they feel so depressed? Which is it? If you see that person, yes, they're depressed. Yes, there's a chance they may take their life. That is not something you should feel guilty for. because they cannot control, or they are so in love, it's they in all their heart want you to love them, and in some ways you're going to have to think that one out. You're going to have to think what's your position on it. On the same token, if you're just simply not in love and you need to move on, then by visiting with them and making them think that they're going to whatever, you're rewarding them for their depression of pushing this energy on you. Because it got them what they wanted in the end. And what they're going to do is they're learning now to continue doing this process of throwing this kind of energy at you. It's better to say, in a way, it's cruel to be kind, which in many ways is how I look at a lot of things. It's cruel to be kind because eventually they're going to likely outgrow you. Then give themselves an opportunity to meet someone else or to move on with their life. And the longer that you give them hope, the longer that you keep feeding this, you cannot relate because you're not in the same place. All you see is the extremes of their suffering. What you don't realize is that you're just elongating this, that eventually in the human brain there's a point where you shut it off and you move on. So you have to ask yourself, are you letting them hang on because you think that you're being kind? Or are you letting them hang on because, in a way, you're still feeding your ego because you want that person to still want you secretly. And that somehow this is empowering as a backup plan as you progress through life with other things. And you know the difference already in your heart. That's self-observation. The question is what do you have the power to do about that? Are you going to be able to let this person go and let them destroy themselves to ashes in their suffering? But you have to remember the story of the phoenix. Inevitably, they will come back to life and they will move on with their life. I have certainly been in love with other people in my life, and I've certainly had to let go of them, and they've gone through their suffering. But they've also moved on in their life later on. It could take a month, it could take a year, it could take 5 years. But inevitably, it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of doing what the greater necessity or the greater good is. It may seem cruel, it may seem selfish, but in truth, it is the truest thing to do. You could say that you're gradually going to wean away from them. That's a truth. But the amount of energy that it takes for this process also could be very consuming and limiting in your life's journey also. And there has to become a point where you have to say, I've been trying to wean off of it, but it just never quite gets there. And am I fooling myself by allowing this process to keep going on and on and on? And you have to realize at one point you just need to walk away from it completely. So selfishness, selflessness, there's a very gray, fine line in between if you think about it. But you have to think also, what is being affected by you? Is your psyche, your thought process being manipulated? 10 to 1 it is. Even though the intentions of the person aren't bad, in many cases, if you do begin to separate, that person can become very bitter towards you and decide, well, if you won't love me, I don't want you to love anybody else. So now they wish death on you or ill health or some traumatic thing for you to happen to you so that you have to come crawling to them. It takes on an extreme level of what is considered psychic warfare. You don't have to be trained in the arts of psychic phenomena to be harmful to another human being. I think one of the greatest levels of psychic warfare that is done on an everyday basis is relationships that go awry and the amount, the magnitude of mental energy that's projected out at other individuals is phenomenal. And if you think about when people break up, the amount of suffering that goes on, how people turn to alcoholism, suicide, anger, hate, jealousy, it's all the worst things you can imagine. And the bottom line is that usually there's no winner out of both of them. Most of the time people are scorned forever mentally from relationship breakups, whether it be from marriage or from whatever it is. And it could take a significant amount of time to heal from that. But eventually they do heal. That's the interesting thing. Us as spiritual people attempting to evolve, we are much more sensitive to the arena of thought and what it can do. And it is for us to learn a kind of Tai Chi of the mind, to use our mindfulness so that we do not get pummeled by people's consciousness pounding on us. That again, if we do, we allow ourselves to fall asleep, we fall into the matrix, and the matrix pummels us and forges us and creates us to being the byproduct of whatever needs us to be, and we cannot afford that to happen. And that's what we're trying to be conscious of and defensive of, is that we're aware of these things when they happen, and that we kind of have a Tai Chi method or a martial art method mentally of dealing appropriately with that thought consciousness so it doesn't do harm to us. And that's the whole point of this conversation, is awareness. This is one method to say that you are affected by previous lovers. People that you've been intimate with know your energy best. When you are intimate with someone, you know that person's frequency. You can draw on that person's energy simply by knowing their frequency, and vice versa. And in the aspects of looking at it psychically, I always say that each individual has a frequency, 98.6, 104.3. You have a very specific frequency. Well, the people who have the most effect on you or the most power on your thought consciousness, who can invoke their thought on your thought process, are the people who know your energy. And the better they know your energy, or if they've been intimate with you, it means that there's a very strong psychic connection, and 10 to 1 it will last forever. Forever. Even when you leave this world and die, that conscious energy is still connected somehow, some way, if it was strong enough. This is why, again, I say, usually the greatest level of psychic warfare that's done in a negative prospects are from people who have gone through relationships, because there's such a mental invocation of thought that is pushed into it. It can be one of the most positive, healing, enriching energies, or it can be a very negative, destructive, powerful, souring energy. It has potential for either or. Now, if we move on to other thoughts of projection, it's to say that we've had classes where I've taught where you can heal someone across the world if you wanted, to a hospital, to a 10-foot distance, whatever, by thought projection. The matrix interconnects everything. Everything is connected. All of our consciousnesses in this room are connected. All of our consciousness outside of this room is connected. So there is a grid. It's a matter of whether you know the channel or the frequency to follow in order for you to connect with whatever person you want to connect your mind with. It's about following some kind of mental path or some pathway, as I've described. Every single person that you meet in your life, you make a connection with. Now, if you're intimate with someone, it's a powerful connection. If you have other levels of a friendship or bonding or hanging out, all of these can be powerful in themselves. But a person learns your frequency and it lasts forever. It's not something you can remove yourself from. If you project healing energy, it's a form of healing at a great distance. If you project negative energy at someone, you can still do it at a great distance. In many cases, a lot of times you may feel depressed. You have to ask yourself a question. Why am I depressed? In some cases, you're going to say, I have no idea. Now, you could be biochemical in your body. It's always a question. But on another point I like to say is, I wonder sometimes if you might realize that it's someone invoking their will on you. Someone's thinking so heavily on you that they're invoking their own depression, and it's affecting you, and you're becoming depressed. It could be a mother yearning for you. And it could be a father maybe wishing to control certain circumstances in your life. It could be people that you've met in your life who now want you back into their life because their life isn't as good as it was when you weren't there. Or they're just thinking on you. And when somebody thinks on you, you tend to get the thinking process, their thought, and whatever interfibered information it has with it, which then gets interfibered into you, and you interpret it not on their premise, but on the premise that you just feel it, but you don't know where it's from. So it's an assumption that it's just simply your feelings.